Positive rotation.
Welcome to Roll Call, a 126th Air Refueling Wing podcast of the Illinois Air National Guard at Scott Air Force Base. I'm your host, Senior Master Sergeant Brian Ellison, the Roll Call podcast focused on people, mission, and community. Coming up, part two of my conversation with Lieutenant Colonel Chaplain Peter Landers, the 126th Air Refueling Wing Chaplain. He talked with us via Zoom from McMurdo Station, Antarctica. He shares with us what surprised him the most about being down there. He tells us about the long hours the maintainers put in. He'll tell us about his trip getting down to Antarctica, and he reminds us that life still happens outside of Antarctica. The 126th Military and Family Readiness is hosting a pre-deployment financial briefing that's coming up February 19th. To schedule, call Military Family Readiness at their new number. We're getting new numbers here on this side of base here at the 126th Air Refueling Wing Campus. It's 618-229-9035. They're going to be replacing our phones and phone numbers over the next month. The next Scott Air Force Base blood drive is next week. It's Tuesday, February 10th. I guess it's next week if you're listening to this. February 4th. Again, the blood drive is Tuesday, February 10th from 10 o'clock till 1600, 4 o'clock for civilians. 702 Hangar Road, Building 56. That is in the CE building there. The Yellow Ribbon pre-deployment event is Monday, March 9th, hosted by yours truly at the Scott Event Center. Registration is open to all airmen deploying in 2026. I'll put a link in the show notes. So how did you find out about this opportunity to serve in Antarctica, and what went through your mind when you were selected?
So each year, they send out an email within the Chaplaincy National Guard Bureau newsletter. And in the newsletter, they offer two slots per year. So there are two Air Force chaplains and one Navy chaplain that come to Antarctica. So I saw that and I thought, wow, I'd love to go to Antarctica and to minister to the people and to be a part of the mission. So I threw my name in the hat, and I got an email saying I was selected. And so it was exciting. They had a list of people that they chose from, and I guess I was one of the top ones, and I was selected for the trip.
How did your family and friends react to you going to Antarctica?
So everybody was kind of amazed. You know, they're like, you're going where? Antarctica? How are you going to Antarctica, right? So the family was excited. They want to see all the pictures. I've been taking pictures like crazy, pictures of you know, the seals and pictures of the penguins and and being a close-knit people. I'm recovering a little bit from a cold because we pass it around down here and it is wintertime.
Yeah,
but they were excited. And everybody's waiting for me to come back, and they want to see the pictures and everything. And I love sharing it, of course. I'll talk like crazy like I am right now. But everybody is very excited.
So to get down there, what was your trip like to get down there, to get to Antarctica? It wasn't a straight shot.
Yes. Yeah, so the trip itself to get down here was a journey. I will say that when I first left in Minnesota, it was snowing. And then when I got to the airport, of course, we use our military ID and not a passport.
Right.
So they had to call and they kept asking for the passport. It's like, no, we're using our military ID. And so that's a lot of connections that they have to make, calling down to New Zealand to make sure, you know, they're going to accept us and everything else. And so the flights were delayed because Chicago had weather.
Oh.
And so it was grace of God that I even got there, because I think we had three cancellations.
Oh, no.
And I had to fly from Yes, I fought from Minnesota to Chicago, from Chicago to Dallas, and then they held the plane for me.
Oh, neat.
The luggage didn't make it, but they held the plane.
Oh, boy.
Yep. And then from Dallas, it was 15 and a half hours to Auckland, New Zealand.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they flew from, and I didn't know you could fly from Dallas to Auckland. Wow.
Yes. And then in Auckland, New Zealand, we went to Christchurch. So it was a lot of flying. I would say over 24 hours of, you know, flights. And then, of course, you know, trying to make your connections and everything. And then I started on the 26th and I went forward in time to the 28th. So when I arrived, it was like 2 days later almost.
Holy cow.
So it was a journey. And that's probably not the funnest time, you know, the travel down there. But made it, and everything went pretty good. My luggage arrived 5 days later.
So, yeah. You were in Christchurch
and
for a while,
right? Christchurch. Yes, I was in Christchurch about 11 days, and it's summertime there.
Ooh,
so
nice.
It's like 75, 80 degrees, so I wasn't complaining. We went out and got to see some of the mountains. I went up to, I think it was called Castle Hill or something. It's where they filmed Narnia and some of those with the big rocks up in the mountains. So that was fun. And then we got to see the mission there, Persco, and see what they do. And man, they're hard at work, you know, making the trips and what's going to go on the planes and the people on the planes and the cancellations. I have a lot of mercy and grace for them because they work extremely hard. And it is a heavy duty mission for them. But I got to see and minister to them and to help them and to be in Christchurch.
And that's American people, U.S. forces working that piece?
Yes, that is all joint forces, PACAF.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's not a bad place to be stationed,
yeah.
Huh?
No, not bad at all. And in fact, they love it as well. So, but
yeah,
they do work like crazy. Everybody around here works 6 days a week and we have one day off.
Wow. That's
so
some hard work.
That is difficult because, yeah, I was talking with the maintainers and because of the melting of the transition and the magic carpet I talked about, it takes them 14 hours a day because they have 2 hours of just travel. And so a lot of them get worn out. I mean, of course, they're not super busy all the time, but when they are busy, they are very busy. And it's very long days, but I mean, it's a good mission. And I don't hear a whole lot of big complaints. People love the mission. And, you know, it brings a lot of value to what we bring to the Science Foundation.
What's your typical day like?
So, like regular Air Force military, we have all of our meetings.
Sure. Okay.
So we have meetings. And then, of course, we have our interdenominational service on Sunday. So I have a worship team and I have some people who play music. And it's like when I talked about the Christmas service. The Christmas service, we had a violin. We had, I don't know all the names of the instruments, but one of the big instruments, I don't think it's a cello, but we had piano, we had guitar, we have various musicians. So we have a lot of rehearsals. So we'll get together and we'll rehearse for the services. We'll go through the worship songs. I'll get things set up. So that's a lot of what I do in my day, preparing for the weekend. Also as well, my office is always open. So if a walk-in comes in and says, hey, chaplain, do you have a moment? I'll do counselings. So that's a big part of my day. Of course, we go to the food service, so chow hall, I guess you would call it. And we walk up there and we wash our hands, we put our coats. So that takes some time as well. And so that's a big part of my day. And then exercise. They have lots of classes. One of the main classes that I do is abs, which, oof, tell you what, I think my legs and my stomach are sore all the time. So we get in there and we do a 15-minute strenuous abs workout on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And so nice. A lot of exercise, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good.
We have two gyms. We have the Gerbil gym, which has treadmills and exercise bikes. And then we have the weight gym. We also have a big auditorium a gym-like setup that we go to where we play picket ball. We played dodgeball with the CBs. And, of course, they're intense. Some of those guys throw that ball. It's like a cannon. And it hits the back of the ball and it goes boom. And you're like, uh-oh, I don't want to be hit by him. But, yeah, on Fridays at 5 a.m., we'll play dodgeball with the Navy guys, which is a lot of fun. But there's a lot of activities. Everybody's out hiking. We hike to the top. There's Summit Hill that we hike up, and there's a big cross at the top. And it's just like a little mountain, and we go up, and you can see everything. Beautiful pictures that I got. One time I took some of my lay people, and we had communion at the top. I have some people that help me. We do a Bible study. They help me with reading scriptures and things like that. And so we did communion with them on top at the cross, on top of the mountain. And so my days are busy. There's always something going on. And Sergeant Weaver is always setting us up on tours. So every time I go in for a meeting, they're like, oh, we got a tour of the water plant today. We got a tour of the electric. We got a tour of... So there's a lot of tours because we're just seeing everything. There's so much to see out here we're busy nonstop. I find myself, even on my days off, end up going in just because there's something. We have, on my day off, we have a town hall meeting at 10 o'clock. So I go in for that meeting and all the main, leadership of the base, we meet, we talk, we look at schedules, we do all the different planning and what's going on.
Okay. So, yeah, do anything, spend your time off? Have you done anything? I guess you've done some unique things then on your time off.
Yes. So three things I'll mention. One is with the weather team that we have here. Upstairs in our building, we have, the weather, U.S. weather guys, and they have all the satellites. They have the big, I'm not technical with all the stuff, but they have the big balls with the, the satellite dishes in them.
Oh, yeah.
And they let me let off one of their balloons. So every day at 11 and then 11 at night, they blow up weather balloons and they attach a little device that checks the weather, the wind speed, the temperature. And so one day I went out with them and they blew it up and I was able to let go of the weather balloon, which went up to like 75,000 feet before it popped. So it pops. Yeah, it pops. And then the little device, which is like $200, it just floats down somewhere. It's really little, and it has foam on it. Sometimes they recover them, but most of the time they just disappear wherever. They let those out daily. That was pretty neat. Also, seeing the electrical plant was pretty neat. They gave us all the different tour. We have windmills, which is actually Scott Base.
Okay.
And they apply a tiny bit of the electricity. But then we have these massive generators that probably take, hundreds of thousand pounds of diesel fuel every day that generate electricity for the base. So that was one of the tours that was pretty neat. And of course, I talked about the science tours. They showed us some ice that's probably the same age as the Earth. And we were able to touch it. She laughed and said, you can lick it if you want. And I was just like, because I was like, what does it taste like? And I was like, no, I'm not going to lick it. But here is this piece of ice. Who knows how many? I mean, of course, they had tons of zeros and millions of years. But there's this ice that they cut out that they study. And so they study this ice that's just as old as the Earth. And so that was pretty neat.
Wow.
And then, there's just so many different things that we look at. Of course, I told you about Mount Erebus that we went out to. We also took the drive up And I have some video and pictures of it. But we went inside one of the huge domes with one of the big satellites that track the weather all over the world. It's not just here, but these satellites are used by NASA to track weather all over the world. And so they have these huge domes with these massive satellites, and they're tracking weather and patterns and things all over the world, which is pretty neat.
That is neat. Wow. So what surprised you most about being down there?
So one of the things that surprised me the most was how much outside activity there is. I was thinking with it being that cold, but down here, 30 degrees is summertime, right? It's a heat wave. And so everybody is outside all the time. We have the Peninsula Hut that people do tours, and we go down there and we learn about Shackleton and we learn about all the early explorers.
Okay.
And then we all are always searching for penguins, right?
Sure.
The other day, I actually, right down from the chapel, there was probably about 20 penguins. And so I went down there with my camera, and one almost came 3 feet. Oh, don't tell anybody that. I guess I shouldn't say that. The penguin approached me. I didn't approach the penguin. But he was curious, and he walked almost right up to me, and I had him on camera taking video and picture, and he walked to me. I didn't walk to him because you're supposed to stay within so many feet.
Okay.
But if they approach you, you're fine. But yeah, the penguin came up, and he was curious. And so we're always looking at wildlife. We do an ice shelf tour. Whereas we get in our extreme weather gear, which is, you know, the big parka, the big glasses, and we walked out on the ice, and then we see the seals up close, the Weddell seals. Yes, and so the Weddell seals are all over down here. They do have leopard seals and things like that, but that's on a different part of Antarctica. Mm-hmm. Our main seals are the Weddell seals, but I got a lot of up-close encounters with them as well. And it's neat to see them coming in and out of the water. And they call them slugs. So they're like little slugs on the ice because they barely ever move. And when they do move, it's usually the little seal pups. And I got some good videos, some seal pups playing in the water and around. But that's what surprised me the most, was how much outdoor activity that people do here. And of course, it's just the people, right? The scientists interacting with everybody. Everybody has a story. Everybody loves to show what they do. And everything out here is so different from what you see in the States. I just have an open ear and an open mind just to hear about all the exciting things that they do. And that's what's been fun and exciting and, you know, really opened my world up out here in Antarctica.
So how different has this been from your civilian job, or as a minister in your civilian job, or as ministering to the wing? How is it? Do you find it different, or is it maybe the same?
So in a lot of ways, it's the same. I know, sure, with the prison system, you know, I work with civilians. I also work with military. So out here, the biggest difference is just, you know, the joint force, I guess you could say. There's everybody out here. And I'm, you know, we're with Navy, I'm with Army, I'm with the scientists. And scientists have their own culture and their own personalities. So a lot of them are introvert, but you get them talking about what they're doing, and they'll talk your head off, and they get excited. And it makes me excited, right? And so, just like a deployment too, though, it's almost like a regular deployment. I was in Al-Dhafra out there because everybody's isolated from family. So you have the same emotions people go through. You have the same, like with counseling and stuff like that, people are, you know, they're away from family. Something goes wrong. They're like, chaplain, you know, I'm having a hard time. We had, unfortunately, there was, you know, why they're here. People have deaths in their families. Mm. And I'm crying with people, and we're doing Zoom meetings of funerals and things like that. So there's a lot of crisis care. There's a lot of care for people because life still happens,
sure,
whether you're out here or not. So a lot of the ministry is still valuable. A lot of the ministry, the confidential counseling, just the leadership engagement, a lot of different things that happen out here are similar. But the unique thing is the culture of the scientists, because it's hard to, you know, explain, but they are kind of different people. How do I word it without being, they're a little nerdy, okay? I love them, but I'm nerdy myself, so what can I say? My son would say he's a nerd. So they're a different type of people. They're a little nerdy, and when you get them talking about, you know, a lot of times it's over my head. They start getting technical and all the different science stuff, and I say, can you put that in layperson's terms? But that's probably the difference, I would say, would be the culture. Within the prison, of course, I deal a lot with law enforcement type personnel. And with the military, we deal a lot with, we know our world, right? We know the pilots, we know the planes, we know the maintenance. And so that is the difference, is you're getting into science stuff and big sea creatures and million, billion-year-old ice cubes and all of that stuff, that it's a different world.
How much longer are you going to be down there?
So I'm leaving next Thursday. So it's less than a week now.
Oh, wow.
It goes quick. It goes quick. I came on November 28th is when I came to Christchurch. And then I got here probably, what was it, December 8th or 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was quick, you know, working 6 days a week. And it's busy down here. I mean, there's always something going on 24 hours a day. I have a pager on call 24/7. Fortunately, praise the Lord, I guess you could say, there hasn't been a huge amount of crisis. The usual amount, usual life stuff that happens, good and bad, but nothing, you know, extremely crazy, which is good. I've been blessed with that. But it has been a steady workload, and it went by fast, very fast. Yeah. But next week.
Yeah, next week. Okay. How long are the scientists and everyone? Do they stay down there all year round?
Yeah. So the scientists usually stay a lot longer. In fact, I was talking to someone the other day, and they're here till May. So they'll come in a lot of times, early November, some even in October, and they stay all the way to May. So some people stay down here most of the year. It gets really, 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 really cold in their winter time. And so there's only about a base of 100 people that stay. But still, all the way up to May, there's people still here. Most of the flights leave probably around March, and most of the people are gone. But then there's some people that stay later, and then some people that stay through the winter. It all, of course, everything around here revolves around the weather. So if weather starts getting too bad, then they have to get people out. But yeah, there's some people here 6, 7, 8 months out of the year.
Okay. What are some of the memories you're going to take away from your experience in Antarctica?
I think some of the biggest memories, and if you hear people talk about just deployments in general, it's the relationships that you develop. Our team here, the Support Forces Antarctica, develop really close relationships. I mean, we do everything together. We eat together. We do tours together. We have fun together. We do exercises together. So just in that short period of time, I mean, you develop some really close friends, with the commander, the first shirt, the senior enlisted leader. I mean, it's going to be hard to leave those relationships, because we've, even in a short period of time, we've done so much together. We've experienced, you know, some stuff that only like 0.002% of the world is ever going to experience. Sure. When me and Commander Wernersbach were up on the mountain after snowmobiling, he was like, well, what do you do after this? I mean, after you've been to Antarctica, does anything else compare? And so we started talking about maybe other things. But it's one of those experiences that you're like, you're just humbled to be a part of, but yet at the same time, you're just like, this is one in a million. And sharing those experiences with this group of people is something that I'll take with me for the rest of my life. And for me, that's what's special.
It's great. Anything else you'd like to add?
So at the end of it, of course, I mean, there's just so much happening out here. And I could go on and on. You can tell I get a little excited and I talk a little bit fast. But I mean, there's so much going on out here with the volcanoes and Scott Field and the animals and the mission. But at the end of it, the only thing I would add is, you know, if you can get out here, do it. Yes, people are like, oh, it's too cold for me. You adjust really quick. I mean, I go out sometimes in shorts. I mean, I still have my coat on. That's probably why my voice is all messed up. But, you know, you get used to it. And it's one of those experiences that if you get the opportunity, I would just say do it. It's amazing out here. When we were flying on the C-130, we were up with the pilots in, you know, the cockpit. Uh-huh. And just seeing everything, the mountains and the different colors of white. And, I mean, it's just an experience that is one in a million.
That's the 126th Air Refueling Wing Chaplain, Lieutenant Colonel Peter Landers, joining us from the bottom of the world in Antarctica. Sir, thanks for joining us.
No problem. My pleasure. And look forward to be back with you guys very soon.
Thanks to Chaplain Landers for taking time out of his busy schedule to talk with us while he was down there in Antarctica. He is back home now. He left down there about January 15th, if I remember correctly. I never have spelt Antarctica more in my life than I have in the past month, and I never realized there was a C in the middle of Antarctica. We have a wing-wide orientation flight coming up May 1st. If you'd like to join the flight, see your leadership for all the details. Life can be a handful, especially now people getting ready for deployments. Linda Hsu, our Director of Psychological Health, and her therapy dog, Gator, are here to help. You can reach out to Linda and Gator through her email, linda.hsu.1@us.af.mil. I'll put her email in the show notes. And talk about stressful. Tax season is here, my friend. And Military One Source is here to help. They offer MilTax. It's free software. And they'll support you. I'll put a link in the show notes for MilTax. That's through Military One Source. You can find all of our links on Linktree. That's linktr.ee/126ARW. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget you can also download this on your favorite podcast app. If you're listening on your favorite podcast app, don't forget you can watch it on YouTube. Actually, it might behoove you to watch it on YouTube because I had some background photos and stuff, especially during this podcast, to show you what it was like for Chaplain Landers down in Antarctica. Thanks for listening to Roll Call, a 126th Air Refueling Wing podcast focused on people, mission, and community. I'm Senior Master Sergeant Brian Ellison.
We're good on approach and landing.
500 stable.